This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Hello, AC/DC. Never heard anybody at 8 a.m. Okay. And there he is, Jeff Walls. That's his walk-up music. That's a little rip, man. It's time to talk a little Louisville women's basketball. Coach, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning, man. I'm doing great. Hey, I've got to figure out a way to be able to hit you guys direct on Twitter. I've got my picture. I've got my coffee mug. And I want to thank you for that. And I got a great little picture to send out to you. But I got to figure out, you know, right. I'm not technically savvy at times. So trying to figure out how I can get it to you guys so you can share, because yeah. I'm sure you'll appreciate it.
All right.
Hey, I got to tell you, last night I spent 10 minutes with Sam Purcell. He seems like he's a technically savvy little country boy from Georgia. Maybe your assistant coach can figure that out, right?
Well, I might have to ask someone else, because I think he's getting help with his also. And did it feel like 10 or feel like an hour? Was it 10 minutes or an hour?
No, I love him. He's one of my guys. Look, you come in here as the two seed, and I know you brought your team over here last night to watch the game. I get the impression that's kind of part of the buildup to this is bring them and put them in the environment, let them see the building, let them watch somebody else run up and down the floor. Mentally, does that help you as you get ready for an event like this, Jeff?
Yeah, you know, we talked to our players. We actually had a little short half-hour, 40-minute shoot-around walkthrough yesterday morning at about 8:30. So they wanted to get up, get into the gym, get shots up, get a feel for the court. And then we were able to have a really good practice after that. And then just to get them into the arena, see the game action, the environment, I think it's always good, and they enjoy it. So we try to get out and see as many games as we can while we're here in between preparing for our next game.
Coach, I know it's all about Miami, and that's the only thing you're worried about. But I want to go backwards a second. You've had incredible success. You've won a ton of games, titles, the whole routine. But in your coaching career, have you ever had a game like your last one, Notre Dame? I've never seen anything like it. I mean, that is a really, really good, talented team on the road, and it's 45-4. I've never seen a game ever like that.
No, It was one of those things. Things went really, really well for us and went bad for them. And, you know, you can go back to the first 3 or 4 minutes. They had a high-low for a layup that slipped out of Maya Dotson's hands, and it kind of went over the rim, and then we turned that into a three. We've all been a part of them, but it never been a part of them to that extreme. I mean, we started off 7 for our first 7 from three. And then we actually go 1 for our next 7. It was just one of those games, because they are a really good team. I've got a ton of respect for all their players, their staff. And if we are fortunate enough to be able to play them again here this weekend, I would expect a completely different ballgame, of course. But as you said, we've got our hands full with Miami tonight, and Katie really has that ball club playing really well right now.
Well, and that was kind of the point I was talking about in our first hour today, Jeff, is you got Destiny Harden, who's played well. Kelsey Marshall's played well. They seem to be kind of ascending, if you will, at the right time, too. I mean, Katie's done a great job with that program. And you had your hands full in the regular season meeting, it looks like, too.
Oh, yeah. We were down 9 with about 5 to go and made a really, really furious rally there at the end. To be able to come out with the win at Miami. But they're playing really good basketball. They're a physical team. They share the ball well. They know where their scores are. They're going to attack you. They're not afraid to post guards up. They just do a really nice job. Katie's got a lot of plays that she runs, a lot of fake action that you've got to be prepared for, some counters. So we've been fortunate to have a few days to prepare an hour or two for them, and then you squeeze in a 20-minute, 30-minute segment for someone else in case Miami would have gotten upset. But we spent 90% of our time on Miami because that was how confident I was that they were going to get through to this game today.
Coach, obviously you're locked and loaded for the big tournament. You're in a perfect spot to be a number one overall seed. But taking care of business in Greensboro, I know NC State's won the last couple. This is a big deal, isn't it? I mean, 2018's the last time you cut down the nets, and I know as a competitor, you'd say, hey, anytime you strap it on, the object's to go win. But it is really an emphasis to win this tournament.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's a great event. I mean, the opportunity to compete in March, compete in your conference, for your conference championship is something everybody wants to do. And it's unique because, you know, for us, it's hopefully going to be 3 games in 3 days. For Miami, it could be 4-4. You've got some teams that you might be 5-5. It's a different setup. But yes, it's one that we are excited about. Our kids are excited. We're looking forward to getting back on the court tonight. But guys, as I've said, I really think we're a ball club that can get to a Final Four. But we're also a team that I truly say could lose in the second round of the NCAA tournament if we don't come prepared to play. Once you get to that second round, you're looking at your top 32 teams. It's not like there's 68 or 70. You're down to 32 teams, and everybody's good at that point in time.
All right. I want to ask you about the defensive end of the floor here because you guys, from a scoring perspective, are number two to Georgia Tech in points allowed per game. I think you've always had, whether you believe it or not, I think there's always been this offensive reputation about your ball club. Now it looks like there's great balance in your ball club. How big a factor is that when you get to the tournament in this situation or to next week? The fact that you know you're a really good defensive team and you've shown it night in, night out for the most part.
It's really important. You've got to be able to defend, especially this time of the year, because if shots aren't falling, as we talked to our players about last night during film, there is, you know, during the regular season, it's Thursday and then on a Sunday. You play bad on Thursday, you're right. Playing on Sunday. Now, if you play bad tonight, there is no tomorrow. So you've got to make sure you've got your defense there that you can count on night in and night out in case shots aren't falling. And then at least you can hopefully get it to the fourth quarter where it's just it's anybody's game. It's a one possession game. Now, you know, if you go back the past five or six years, we've always been in the top two or three in this league defensively. We've just always had some players that were dynamic offensively with Dana Evans, Asia Durr, you know, Myesha Hines-Allen. And sometimes our defense gets overlooked because we can score the ball. But I think now, because we don't have just that one offensive player that everybody's going, hey, she's in the top two or three in this league in scoring, it's spread out. We've got five or six that can score the ball. So it's not just one name. But defensively, we have really played some great basketball. And to have two players on the all-defensive team is quite an accomplishment with Mikasa and Emily. Mm.
Coach, we had Haley Van Lith on recently, and one of the things I thought was interesting, we talked about what's the difference with this year's team and last year's, and one of the things she talked about was mental toughness. Mm. And she says, I really like how mentally tough this team is. How accurate is she?
I think she's pretty accurate, and it's not just the mental toughness. I've been a head coach here for 15 years. I've been coaching college basketball for 28 years. And I can honestly say this is the first team that we have not had any issues within the team. It's been amazing. They have been behind each other. They pick each other up. If there's a little bit of something going on, they address it. They talk about it. And that's what makes this team so much fun to coach and so special. When you're together 7-8 months, to be able to say you haven't had drama amongst the team is pretty darn impressive because it's hard. You spend a lot of time together. People can get on each other's nerves, and it's been great to watch how they've bonded. They've had each other's back, and we're all playing for the same goal.
Does, in some ways, this team coach itself, and you know what I mean by that, right? I mean, you've been in it long enough to know this team kind of, do they handle themselves and then they're ready to learn, ready to take in the day-to-day and the process of playing and winning? So that's not an added item to your list every day?
Well, you've really set me up there because there's something called job security. And you really don't want to say your players are coaching themselves. I mean, what in the world? Of course not. We'd be like 3-23 without me. I mean, guys, no, they're absolutely fantastic. I'm able to come into a practice. We talk about what we're trying to get done, and they hold themselves accountable. Exactly what you just said. The great teams that we've had are the teams that don't worry about what the coaching staff's going to say. If I get beat on a box out, if I get beat on a straight line drive for a layup, I'm not that those players aren't looking over to the bench to see if they're coming out of the game. They're looking at their teammates and telling them it's not going to happen again. That's my fault. I missed that box out. And when they start being accountable for each other, then you know you've got a chance to be a special club, and that's where we are. So they do coach each other from that standpoint of holding each other accountable, and it's fun to be around.
Hey, let me just tell you this, Walls. I know one thing about job security. You're fine. You're in good shape. You ain't got to worry about a thing. Packer and I, on the other hand,
it's a whole different story
over here. You're fine. Great to see you. Good luck this week. We're looking forward to watching you on the floor tonight against Miami at 6 o'clock.
I appreciate, guys, and appreciate how much you do for women's basketball as well. It's always fun to watch you, too.
All right. Appreciate it. Jeff Walls of Louisville, part of our fast-moving 8 o'clock. His team sees Miami tonight. Three-point ball game back in early February. You just heard down 9. Had to get back in it.
But they are playing great basketball now. Let me tell you, Louisville is a show when they play.
1-2 came on this thing. And again, we talked about it. We'd like to see it 3 times, right? We're pretty biased about that part.
This league is deep. It's talented. And there's a lot of teams that go, yeah, you know what, NC State and Louisville are really good, but so are we. And, again, it's go time right now in the ACC.
You know, one of the unique ACC careers is with us next. Kenny Dennard is going to join this program. He showed up at Duke in the fall of 1977, played for a national championship as a freshman, and at the end of his career helped launch – Mike Krzyzewski. We're looking forward to visiting with Kenny Dennard next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham from Greensboro, North Carolina. ACC Women's Tournament continues this morning, all day, all night. You'll be good to go on that front. And by the way, this little game tomorrow, Duke in North Carolina, you might have heard about it with this guy, Krzyzewski, his farewell tour. So all that's coming your way. Tons of guests in an action-packed show between now and the end.
I'm going to let you introduce our next guest because this is, in some ways, you know, we've mentioned from time to time on this show that, you know, the legends and the marquee stars that have played in this league, you know. But there are other players that played in this league that are also legends. They're just not legends you know. This would be one of those, would it not?
Well, the basket literally right behind us, one of the all-time moments in the ACC tournament history took place in 1980, Duke, Maryland. And our next guest was front and center, literally in every sense of the word. Just ask Buck Williams. And if you've watched the tournament, you know what we're talking about. Let's go to Kenny Dennard, who is front and center here on Packer and Durham. And there he is. Kenny, it's a pleasure having you on the show. I love the outfit, by the way. You are perfectly fitted for this program. Man, it's got to be melancholy a little bit with what's going on this weekend with Coach K and Duke and everything else.
Hey, no, it is fantastic. It is not melancholy. You know, a lot of people have said, oh, I'm so sad. I am so happy for him. He has worked so hard and given so much to all of his former players, all of Duke, all of basketball. You know, I'm just so happy for him that he did this transition the way he's done. It's John's the guy coming up, and it's just a great celebration. I'm not melancholy at all. I'm very happy for Coach.
Kenny, I said going to break, you have played, you had one of the more remarkable careers in the ACC because in 1978, you played for a national championship as a freshman. And in 1981, you helped become the first team at Duke to play for Mike Krzyzewski. What do you remember about year one? And as we celebrate his career, especially at home tomorrow night, What's gone through your mind since this announcement came down last summer? Because I keep thinking of you and Gene Banks and Vince Taylor and those guys, and just the what you got to see in year one.
Well, you know, it's funny because before Coach announced his retirement, there wasn't a lot of attention paid to the 80-81 season or the two next seasons that were very tough for Coach. But, you know, that's part of the legacy, Coach K, that we're, you know, all celebrating, is that we get to look back and we get to remember. And that the game against Carolina, I know you showed some previews or yeah, posts from that game when Gene hitting the shot. You know, that was just the best perfect day of my life for basketball. It was unbelievable. But, you know, when you look at how all the other, you know, there's going to be so many players back. I saw a number of them last night. I'm already here to Washington Duke getting ready and doing all kinds of fun stuff. But you think about all the people that Coach has touched and how how motivated. And, you know, when we did this series for the ACC, the legacy Coach K, wait till you hear Jay Billis and J.J. Redick and Grant and Wojo and John Shire and many others, Allah Abdelnabi, talk about how Coach did relationships individually. He wasn't, you know, every team you see that's been very successful has we versus me, you know, and that's been that way for 42 years here. So I don't think there's any melancholy at all. I think it's very exciting what's happening, and you know, I'm pumped. And I heard about the ticket prices and stuff, but it's former players. We obviously get one.
Kenny, you know what else is intriguing too? And I think everybody can learn a lesson. The first couple years were tough for Coach K. And, you know, Tom Butters announced him, there were a lot of folks going, what? Who is this dude from where? He's going to coach Duke against Dean Smith and Valvano and Lefty and Holland and Kremit. What are you talking about? Duke can't compete with these guys. And, you know, it didn't go smoothly the first couple years. But, man, it turned out all right, didn't it? It should be a reminder to be patient with your head coach, regardless of sport.
Yes. Well, if you look back, Dean Smith and Coach K had parallel, you know, kind of synergistic entry points. I mean, Dean was hung in effigy in the ACC tournament documentary. You know, Billy Cunningham's talking about that, how the first few years for Dean were tough. So if you look at how, you know, steel gets hardened, it's through heat. And Coach has been through the heat, and he's put other teams through the heat, too, over the years.
Kenny, I'm thinking about this week, and as and Mark and Debbie and I are going to do this curtain call show tomorrow night on ACC Network as a companion to the ESPN coverage. And I started thinking, you're one of the few people that can also speak to the parallels. The fact that it is Coach K's final home game, but it's also Duke and Carolina. I mean, the layering of this is storybook stuff, right? I mean, you grew up in King and went to South Stokes. I mean, you know, as a North Carolinian, kind of how all this fits. They don't write stuff like this. Hollywood can barely get this type story on paper tomorrow night.
No, it's Goosebump City. And the beauty of the ACC and the history of the ACC, which is, like I said, the documentary is awesome, is that there is just this continuous thread of great performances, great coaches. And the UNC-Duke rivalry, obviously, when I got there at Duke in 77, had not really been a rivalry very much. Gene and I, Draminski and Spanarkel and then Vince, we rekindled that and turned it into a good rivalry again. And then Coach had to go through, you know, that game for Coach K's first year was just, that was a dream year. So, or dream game, I should say. So the excitement of always, I've been to every Duke Carolina home game since 94, Grant senior year. And it's just the thing on the calendar that I come back for. I'll mark everything and put everything around it. And it's the combination of these two things coming together. It's just crazy. It's so much fun, too. It's so much fun to be here.
Kenny, while you're hanging out rubbing elbows with greats from yesteryear, What's been the best story the last couple of days? Because I'm sure you've probably heard something about, man, Kay did this to us or whatever the case may be. There's got to be some great stories. So give me one that you can use actually on air by just rubbing some elbows here the last couple of days.
Well, I would encourage everyone to watch the series that drops on the – because I've got Jay Billis, Johnny Dawkins, Ala Abdelnaby, Grant Hill, Wojo, Shane Battier, and then John Char and Nolan Smith are all interviewing. They're giving stories from their perspective. I only had one good year. Yeah, well, it wasn't a great year, but it was a good year. I had a good year with Coach. We had some great stories. Most of those are signed in a confidentiality agreement. But for the people around, the people here that we're all talking about who's coming, it's still the excitement and the buzz of, we haven't seen this much excitement from former players coming back. You know, the K Academy during the summer, there's about 30 guys that come back each summer, and that rotates depending on who's available and who can come. But that's been a fabulous cornerstone for the Brotherhood branding and foundation and actual true love to build over the last 18 years. But we really haven't gotten into the big stories yet. Not everybody's here. So I came in early because I had work to do today, and I had work yesterday. So I needed to fly at night and get here so I could be ready for today. I'm speechless. You guys have got me speechless.
Well, I'm gonna close with this. Packer has no idea what I'm getting ready to ask you about, but I know you know this. Have the statute of limitations passed, you think, on the old Jersey City party Spanarkle and O'Corrin used to have at the Holiday Inn on 15501 at the Duke Carolina game at the close of every regular season?
Yeah, that's one of those that's in the vault. You know, we can't talk about those. You know, those are and the pizza joint next door, Manella's. I wish the NIL was back when I was playing. I would have had Manella's. I would have been on TV selling pizzas every day.
By the way, we going out hunting today? I'm just asking.
That's regular bill of fare right there.
What are we doing with this today?
I'm sorry? Oh, no, this is my wife bought this outfit at the DXL, you know, the big and fat store that used to be Rochester's and Casual Male got together. That's where I get most of my stuff. 6'8", 350, you know, it's hard to fashionably dress at my size, the plus size. So my wife,
I like it. I got to tell you.
Her birthday in 2019, before COVID hit, on her birthday in August, we went into the store and she saw this outfit. It's got pants too. So she said, I'm buying this for you for my birthday. And whenever you're on television or wherever we go somewhere, so I've been at the U.S. Open sitting right behind the court being on TV. I wear it to games. It's just makes her smile. So Nadine and I have been together 47 years. And whatever I can do to help make her smile, make her day happier, I do.
That's a good move.
I tell you what, Kenny, great to see you. Be well, and hope we get a chance to catch you tomorrow night sometime. Look forward to chatting.
That'd be great. Thanks for having me on. It's quite an honor. Right. Love you guys.
Absolutely. Our pleasure. Kenny Denard, who grew up in King, North Carolina, played at South Stokes, was a Bill Foster recruit, played for the national title in 78 at St. Louis when they lost to Kentucky, and then was a member of Mike Krzyzewski's first Blue Devil team. Don't forget, coming up on Monday night, the final two episodes of The Tournament, a history of ACC men's basketball, premieres 9 o'clock Eastern time. You get 1998 to 2008 at 9, and then the last 11 years, if you will, 2009 to 2020 at 10 o'clock. The conclusion of the tournament documentary on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app and also presented by New York Life. When we come back, Hall of Famer Debbie Antonelli is here. We'll chronicle day 3 of the women's tournament and chat up a little bit of the Curtain Call show tomorrow night on ACC Network after this.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
in March of 2000 when Greensboro hosted its first women's ACC tournament. Duke beat Carolina to win the conference crown. Over the next decade, this town was usually painted a shade of blue by the end of the week. But starting in 2014, Notre Dame won four straight. And recently, Louisville and NC State have joined the mix to take over Tournament Town.
Packer and Durham, live from Greensboro. ACC Women's Tournament continues today. Business starting to pick up.
Yeah.
We got deliveries, and now another Hall of Famer joins the set.
The Hall of Famer, as far as I'm concerned, for this show, right here.
Can I say one thing before we get started?
Absolutely.
I want all of us to look around here and look at the distance between each other.
Because
tomorrow night, when we get together at Cameron Indoor, I'm going to say we're going to have about 1/8 of the amount of space that we have for tomorrow night.
Be about right.
I'm going to need a little extra space after I eat this.
Listen, I got a whole box over here. Debbie, we're ready to roll.
Please officially welcome to the Packer and Durham program Hall of Famer, Debbie Antonelli. I don't care. You're not forever. That's all I'm telling you. Well, especially those of us that have known each other longer than we want to admit.
That's right, man. Right.
Yep.
Congratulations. Thank you. It's a very humbling experience, and I'm trying to be like Coach K right now. Just keep it in the moment. You know, just stay in the moment. Not get too much emotion about looking back or reflecting, but you know what, guys like you, it's fun to share something like that with.
Oh my God, it's awesome. It's just fun. Awesome.
We're gonna be sharing tomorrow.
let's get to here first.
Yeah.
Four quarterfinals. Carolina Virginia Tech looks to be the most compelling on paper, though, Debbie. I mean, look, I think Miami Louisville, Jeff was just with us. He talks about their length, their athleticism. They had to come from nine down, but still, I go back to last Sunday. The consequence, you had the game with, I know you had a game, right, last weekend. I know that KG and Jen were doing the Virginia Tech NC State game. The consequences of those games.
Sure.
And we get to see now those two teams play here.
Well, first of all, we don't know what the status of Kayla King is yet for Virginia Tech. She got hurt in the game yesterday morning. And so, you know, but they do have the player of the year in Elizabeth Kitley, and Asia Shepherd's the all-time leading scorer in the history of Virginia Tech. So that gives them a chance. You know, they got to move the ball and they got to play well. But North Carolina does such a good job of playing inside out. They run the floor. Ustby is a really good player. Deja Kelly can get a shot anytime she wants. I think Kennedy Todd Williams is one of the more underrated players in the league. I think she might be one of the better defenders. You can put her on a lot of different people and she can defend. They advance the ball so well in transition and they play with their own pace. I think Courtney's done a fantastic job getting this team to where they're an NCAA tournament team and they're going to get a good seed. I don't know how they stayed in the top 10 in the net all season. I don't know what the algorithm is for that, but you know, Princeton, smartest coach in the league, somehow she figured it out and she's probably got some access to some super secret formula that nobody else does. And that sounds like something Courtney would definitely know about. So it's going to be a great game. It's going to be good.
All right. Now, a Hall of Famer just said, I don't know anything about the net, so she's no different than us.
Welcome to our club.
Nobody knows what's in the net. No, but we don't know.
All right. Here's one. Before we talk about who's still playing, I want to talk about two teams that are not. Boston College, Florida State last night. Yesterday was a big game, right? It just felt like the winner is like, all right, we're moving on. Life's good. The loser now sits on the couch and hopes and prays that the committee says, hey, you're good enough. Duke had the opportunity, right? You're up double digits. You got to close the deal. Struggle down the stretch. BC and Duke, both get in, neither get in, split. What do you think is going to happen here? Crystal ball, both of them.
I mean, right now I'd be leaning towards no because I think there's a lot of basketball left to be played in some of the mid-majors. Yeah. There's some mid-majors that are going to – there's going to be some upsets in those leagues because those leagues have gotten better. It's going to be a struggle. They're going to have to wait and see. They're going to be sitting on the edge of their seat for sure. I think, you know, with BC, they have a veteran team. They didn't win some of the games they needed to win. I don't know if the committee will look at how they'll look at things. We don't even know how the committee looks at stuff.
Yeah.
We don't even know what criteria they use sometimes. So I think it's going to be a challenge. But I think Duke might be an NIT team if they decide that's what they want to do.
Interesting because, and Mark and I are guilty as charged on this, okay? We envision Louisville.
Speak for yourself.
We envision Louisville and NC State here on Sunday. Okay, I think a lot of us, because of the first game, want to see that game again, just to see if they are as good as they showed us in that first game. If we don't get that, who do you think we get based on what you've seen so far and the way the season ended?
I don't see that not happening, that both of them don't get here. I mean, I don't know who that other team would be. NC State and Louisville have clearly been the top two teams. They're both number one seeds. Regardless of what happens here today, they're going to stay number one seeds. That's how good they are. They check every box, and Louisville's gotten better over the course of the season. They've had a lot of late fourth quarter comebacks. You referenced the Miami one. Mm-hmm. And NC State has been good. I mean, that's why these kids came back. I mean, this is their moment. Right. They know it. They're connected. They're good. Elisa Kunane maybe feeling a little rub not getting the player of the year. I think there's a lot of people that thought the competition was between the two of them. I think NC State will play well. They've played well here in the past. I would expect them to play well today.
You know, I don't know how any of this stuff's going to play out. None of us do. But, you know, Louisville-Notre Dame again after what happened, right? I mean, we just talked to Jeff Falls. It's still, Debbie, and you know, you've covered it for forever and ever, too. I don't think I've ever seen two really good teams in an environment like that, especially one on the road, just go 45-4 on somebody. I mean, it was just unbelievable. People on Twitterverse were like, who maybe haven't even watched a women's basketball game all year, went, holy mackerel, what is going on here?
Well, you know, at the very beginning of the season, I said, Dana who? Dana Evans, a reference to the two-time back-to-back ACC Player of the Year, and people thought I was crazy, right? I got a lot of hate for that. It wasn't disrespectful for Dana. It was nothing about Dana. It's more about Louisville and its program. Jeff is so good at putting the pieces together. He's one of the best X and O guys. Obviously, he can recruit. He does a great job of preparing his teams in practice. And they'll be ready. I mean, they are ready. You know, teams like NC State and Louisville, because they've experienced some bigger games in the NCAA tournament, they're already looking past as coaching staffs, not with their team, but they already know what they need to do and what level of play they have to be able to play at to be able to win in advance in the NCAA and win in advance here.
All right, in our last few minutes here, let's go with the kids' table, as Pac likes to call it, tomorrow night.
I can't wait. We're going to be up there and be like, sight line.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, dialed in.
I got a steel girder coming right here tomorrow. That's what I got.
Well, I figured that's where you guys were going to put me.
No.
I want it.
You're in the Hall of Fame. You're getting the best seat.
No, but I thought I could fit over there.
No. Here's how it works. There's two Hall of Famers at the table, and then I'm going to be over here.
The moment. And I've asked that we just talked to Kenny Dennard about it. We've talked to and all the stuff that goes on tomorrow night, it's the moment, right? Mm-hmm. It's why, you know, we feel fortunate and blessed to be there. It's why a lot of people pay a lot of money to be there. The idea of that moment tomorrow night, how does it impact the game, you think?
I think it has the same impact it always has on that game. I think it's that special in Cameron when those two meet. And I was in there for his third to the last home game against Wake. I had that call. I had the call on the second to the last home game with Florida State. I didn't think it could get any more ramped up in there. And now I'm going to get a chance to experience this.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Last time Carolina played at Duke, I was there. And I was up there in that spot watching, standing room only up there, experiencing the Duke-Cameron and the North Carolina, the rivalry. I mean, I think Coach K is so good at dialing his team down. And this team is really good. And they've matured as the season has gone on. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can call them a young team anymore. Not when you can go on the road in this league and win 9 games. This is going to be great. But, yes, the moment is about not just for him, but it's how it makes you feel. I don't know how it can make those players feel any more excited or ramped up to play in this game. But for us, like, this is really special.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Really special.
Right.
It's going to be one of the legendary nights in the history of the league. I mean, forget about the outcome of the game. And, again, the game's always the most important thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember another game ever, Debbie, in my lifetime that's got as much noise around it than this one.
No, I mean, and, you know, we all grew up on Tobacco Road. We know what it's like. We understand the history. We've watched what Coach K has been able to do with the Brotherhood, which is a real thing. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. Like, all the times that we rolled the RV cart in with stacked up VHSs in high school and junior high so we could watch the ACC tournament and to be able to watch Coach K and Dean Smith do the things that they've been able to do, Coach Valvano at NC State. I mean, just the history of the league. You guys can drop names all day about the history of the league. But this moment in time will be unique and special for everyone that gets a chance to experience it.
I suspect 100 years from now, when we're all long gone, they're going to replay tomorrow night. Now, it's going to be one of those things you go, hey, there was a guy by the name of Krzyzewski. Let me tell you what he accomplished at Duke. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. This was the moment, his last. And they're going to watch it 100 years from now. It's going to be one of those kind of nights.
You're going to share it with your people, your children, your grandchildren. You're going to pass it down. It's unique. I have had a chance to call a lot of special moments in our game, in the history of the women's game, on the women's side. You know, Pat Summitt winning game number 1,000. Oh, yeah. I had Gino Auriemma's game number 1,000. I've had a chance to do some really special things. This one is going to be up there. It's going to be really cool, especially to get to do it with you guys.
Wow, you're sweet to say that. I think it's going to be fun for all of us.
Listen, you don't need to suck up to the host.
Well, you already gave me some parting gifts.
Right, we've already spread, you know, we're going to break bread together. I mean, that's not a problem.
You have a beautiful piece that's part of the package tomorrow night talking about Kay's impact. And we all know philanthropically what he's meant to that community. I think that is a piece of tomorrow night. And it's interesting. His family's role in that philanthropy is remarkable. And I think that's one of the things people nationally are starting to digest here, maybe in some cases, Debbie, for the first time. I mean, it's amazing.
Well, Duke Children's Hospital has been really important to the Krzyzewski family.
Sure.
The Emily Kay Center has been really important. You've heard him say time and time again, the 2,000-plus families that have been affected, and personally my family affected by what Duke Children's has been able to provide for our family with Lennox Baker and the Duke Down Syndrome Clinic. And Coach K didn't know anything about it until he met Frankie and my son Frankie, and they're fast friends. It was an incredible day and experience for us over in Cameron when Frankie and I got a chance to speak at a Duke Children's luncheon, a fundraising luncheon. They called me to go over there and help them raise some money for the Duke Children's Hospital, and Frankie was the one. Frankie can raise some money.
Now, Frankie's got a lot of fast friends now, Pac.
Yeah.
My man is connected. Frankie is.
But, you know, going back to the point, though, with Kay, you know, we know him as a coach. Everybody knows him as a coach.
Yeah.
But for folks who've had a chance to know him, that means something to him. It's not just lip service, put my name on it, and I'm good, I'll catch you later. He gets involved big time.
No, his whole family gets involved. Nice. I think that's the unique thing about it. I've listened to his press conference, and he talks about his wife, Mickey, what a great wife she is, but what a great coach's wife she is. And the family. I know Jamie Spatola, one of my kids went to Duke basketball camp. I mean, they're all invested over there in helping make sure everyone has a really good experience when you go over to Cameron. We've had that in many different ways. And yes, the philanthropic attitude that his family has is real.
Yeah. Duke Carolina, there are a lot of linear layers and similarities. The congruency of the two programs tomorrow night really kind of shows too. The former player impact that Duke's established, the traits, the commonalities that Mark and I were talking this week with Coach K and Coach Smith. Some of the journalism that's been done this week in this market, especially Andrew Carter's piece yesterday, just phenomenal about the two and their relationship. All right, you got the semis here tomorrow.
Yep.
Then you're going to time trial it over to Cameron.
On two wheels, man. Zoom.
Do you need a ride?
Is it the F-150?
I got the Ford F-150. It's gassed up. Now, I'm going to ride this thing over here. See this thing over your shoulder?
Yeah.
See that blimp? That's the first thing that's going for a ride about 9:45 this morning. But I got plenty of room. The dogs aren't with me.
You got room for two?
Let me tell you, you want to push the envelope with me, you're making a terrible mistake. I will do that in a millisecond.
Yeah,
but if you need a ride tomorrow, because I'm hanging here in Greensboro for a while before I go over there to Durham.
Yeah.
You need a ride?
Is that a good idea, Wes? Is that a good idea?
I'll make good time.
It's up to you.
You make good time?
It's up to you. Up to you.
Now, I tell you what, whatever the crew doesn't eat from this, it'll be in the truck.
All right. Debbie does not have to commit to a Packer riding the F-150 on live television because of the liabilities. Anyway,
We got to check with a few people on that.
Debbie will be with us tomorrow night at 6 o'clock for the curtain call. Our coverage from Durham starts right after the second semifinal game, about 4:30 here on ACC
Network. Does
Debbie
know we're parking at Nina King's house?
You know what? There's a lot of speculation and subjective things underway.
Do we get to go post-game at Nina's house?
Coach K's curtain call at 6 o'clock
Rick's
tomorrow night.
Rick's got the dog and the kids.
Nothing but net at 4:30. Packer and Debbie will be there.
Oh,
I will already be there, by the way. So if the light goes on and you guys are still looking for parking,
we're not going to worry about parking.
When we come back, another legend of the league. You know these surface legends, all the guys who have banners? And then there are these other guys. Ernie Myers from New York City off the tartan floor at Reynolds is coming to this show next on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. Get a good aerial shot. See that right there in the background? That'd be the blimp. It's going for a ride here in about an hour and 15 minutes.
So
Maybe
many
not
people,
that long.
So many people have been brought into this excursion that's going to take place this morning.
Still filling it up with helium. Got to get that thing airborne, baby.
Oh, I can't wait.
I've been working the thumbs during the break.
And apparently John Tarwater, who was here 2 years ago when Packers stole the controls and flew the blimp, is also our man on the scene here again today in Greensboro. So as we welcome you back to Packer and Durham, be prepared at 9:45. Mark, once again, has signed all the paperwork to
fly the shoe blimp. I'm flying it.
All right. Earlier in the show, half hour ago, we had, what do I tell you? They're the guys who get the banners, and then they're the guys that are legends, right? Fair? Correct?
Yeah, that's probably accurate.
All right. Ernie Myers is a legend. 1983 national champion, one of the great players at NC State. Shoot him if you got him, Ernie Myers.
Hey, yeah, man. Your dad used to describe me. I never met a shot I didn't like.
That's it. Said it on the air. Exactly right.
Yeah.
Also now the radio analyst and has done a lot of television with women's basketball at NC State. Mm-hmm. Sidebar, Annabelle's husband. Great to see you. Great to see you. How you been?
I've been great. I mean, this is I watch you guys all the time, so I can check this off my list.
We can check it off the list.
Yeah.
By the way, show them the hardware on your hand there.
This is the national championship ring right here.
Yes, sir.
1983?
1983. I know it's
eons,
but
nice.
You know, it's followed me all my life, you know, since the championship.
No question.
Great.
Yeah. And it's been fun to watch this tournament documentary, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The tournament, you know, I've been watching a lot of history, a lot of, I didn't know all the New York connections.
See, that's what I want to know from somebody who played in this league. Mm-hmm. How much have you learned you didn't know?
I learned a lot, you know, about, you know, the pipeline. And they had this subway from New York and Frank McGuire and bringing all those guys from New York City and Long Island, Kevin Joyce and the whole South Carolina thing and Bobby Crimmins.
Yeah.
He recruited me. I visited Georgia Tech, you know, they were on my list.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's from the Bronx, and he played in, you know, in the ACC, and it's just a lot of history.
That's awesome.
By the way, what are the chances that Wes Moore can get some of that hardware right there?
Ooh, huh?
They got a shot, don't they?
Hey, he's a great coach, and he's assembled a team of great young women who played hard. They came back. They had some unfinished business, and you know, Elisa Conane is leading them, and on the court, and Coach Wes Moore is just—he's never satisfied. So that's a mark of a good coach.
But Ernie, here's the thing about their team: they are, and we just had Jeff Walls of Louisville on here. They're incredibly connected. I mean, it's Diamond Johnson joins this team as a transfer, and it's like a form fit, and that's remarkable. I think it shows the stability of the program prior to her arrival, I think.
Yeah, and Reina Perez.
Yeah.
She came in, you know, was all everything where she was in college and where she played at, and kind of blended in and, you know, hit the last second buzzer shot here last year. And Diamond Johnson, I call her the real one, you know, because, you know, no cubic zirconia in her game. She came in and, you know, she started the first game, and they lost against South Carolina. And then, you know, she started coming off the bench, and the coach says, I have six starters, you know. Mm-hmm. And she's leading. She's the second leading scorer on the team, and she's blended in well. A great group of young women.
Yeah.
You know, I go back to that Louisville game, right? Mm-hmm. For three quarters, it's looking down. I mean, listen, Louisville's wearing them out.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, bam, here it comes. And here comes the wave, and there was nothing Louisville could do about it.
No, it was not that once she got on, and I like the statement she made. She said, I know who I am, and I know what I can do. Mm-hmm. You know, that's an empowering statement from a young lady. You know, she came in, and she just took over the game. And I was just like, I was doing the radio, so I was like, man, it just was a wave, you know. Diamond just came in and did her thing.
We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the connection of your coach and Mike Krzyzewski.
Okay.
Because Jim and, it's funny you mentioned Cremins, because how many times has Cremins ever said, Wes, you know, Mike and Jimmy and I came in, we were the young guns, okay?
Right.
But you played for Jimmy at a time, not only where it was obviously going mm-hmm. to peaks nobody envisioned, except
right.
maybe him, right?
Right.
And at the same time, Mike Krzyzewski was building in Durham. And I thought one of the things that was discussed this week, and maybe in the documentary, was Carolina had won in 82, you guys had won in 83, and all of a sudden, here's this young coach in Durham. Now, Ernie, we're celebrating this man who has become the greatest college coach of all time.
Oh, without question. Coach K, I remember the fire Coach K, you know, chants and all that over there. And I think he said the biggest thing that happened was we won the national championship. It kind of took the spotlight a little away from what was going on in Durham. But he stuck it out. Those guys, Johnny Dawkins, and I know all those guys. We were the same recruiting class.
Yeah.
Allery and... Billis and David Henderson. I know all those guys, you know what I mean? And he just took it to another level. I mean, you know, the maturation of those freshmen into seniors.
Yeah.
You know, making it to the Final Four and making it to the final game. They started it at Duke.
Yeah.
You know, that freshman class, I think they were the number one mm-hmm. recruiting class in the country. And, you know, Coach K is, you know, unbelievable. I'm watching him. I'm like, man, I played basketball 30-something years ago, and this guy's still coaching.
Still winning.
And still winning, yeah, you know what I mean? And is a fierce competitor as he was back then.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's made him great. Right?
Yeah.
He's never, you just talked about Wes Moore, never satisfied.
Yeah,
Coach K, never satisfied. Yeah, it's the next play. It's the next game.
Next game. And that scowl he has on his face, and, you know, he's intense, man. He wants to win all the time.
And you can't fake that.
No.
That's all real.
No, you can't fake that. And, you know, and there's nothing fake about Coach K. That's all, you know, from what I've seen over the years and the teams that he's compiled and the championships, you know, you got to give him respect.
In any way, as a player or, you know, being in this area as long as you live, did you realize the connection between V and Coach K?
No.
And I know everybody knows the story of when Jimmy passed away
right,
and was diagnosed
right,
with
right.
cancer, that Mike played a major role and was there all the time.
Yeah, he was. And he also talked about how they, you know, they weren't friends and they became friends
right.
when he got sick. And, you know, Coach V and, you know, like, you know, they all came in together. And, you know, and a lot of people didn't like how, you know, Coach V was, you know, flamboyant and he was funny and, you know, he was like a comedian almost, you know, and he came in this league and the league was kind of conservative and,
yeah.
you know, and with Dean Smith and all, you know, and all those guys and Coach K was just, in that relationship they built over the time coming in here and in our documentary they talked about the nose,
yeah.
you know, him and Coach V and the snozzes, you know, but yeah, Coach K, I have a crazy Coach K story. He might not remember this. We were playing at Reynolds Coliseum, and I was coming down in my car, and I had my headphones on, and I was driving, and they were getting off the bus. And I wasn't paying attention. And as I was coming down the hill and Dan Allen, I slammed on the, you know, he was getting off the bus. And I slammed on the brakes and almost hit Coach K. I could have changed basketball history.
Okay, Ernie, that's it. Show's over.
Show's over.
Liability issues have kicked in at this point.
He might not remember it, but he looked at me and gave me that scowl you see. And he saw it was me, and, you know, it was just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man.
Well, I tell you what, if he drops a Ernie Myers reference, now we're going to know the rest of the story.
Post game tomorrow night, I want to thank Ernie Myers for not hitting me when I got off the bus in Raleigh.
Yeah, all the Duke's watching that went down there.
Great to see you. Good luck to Wes and his team. Anytime.
Yeah,
always great to visit with Ernie Myers. When we come back, Power Hour's next. Sheldon Williams, Commissioner Phillips, and Courtney Banghart before we get done. The landlord joins us next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham.